Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
It's here. The presence of God is in this room. I'm so excited to be here in this moment because I know that what he is doing beyond the seen realm. You know, I want you guys to begin to open the eyes of your heart and just get ready to receive. Because even as I told Shanique, I woke up this morning and the Lord gave me a clear word. I'm already starting. You can start the clock. He gave me a clear word. And he said, today I don't want you to teach long. And he said that many of you are at a place where you don't need another word about relationships and marriage. He said, what you need is not more information, but what you need is an impartation. And the Lord said today was going to be a day of impartation. Somebody say impartation. Now, for those of you that don't know what an impartation is, I want you to write this down. Because impartation is an extremely important aspect to spiritual growth and maturity. In Romans chapter 1, verse 11, Paul wrote, writing his letter to the Roman church, or the church in Rome, he said to them, I long to be with you. I long to see you so that I can impart into you some spiritual gift. I long to be with you. I long to see you that I may impart into you some spiritual gift, to the end that you will be established. That's Romans 1 verse 11. An impartation is different than information. You can send information, but impartation requires closeness. It requires a touch. It requires intimacy. Impartation, Paul said, I long to see you. I can't wait to get to you, because when I get to you, then I can give you an impartation. And he said, the reason why I'm longing to impart into you is so that you can be established. So the purpose of impartation is to establish you in areas that information alone can't. And we're in an age and a culture in our society where we think everything we need is just going to be knowledge alone. But even Paul said knowledge alone does what? It puffs you up. Knowledge alone will give you a big head. Information will inflate you. So along with the information, because especially when it comes to relationships, there can be people in this room, you probably heard some of the things I said, you probably heard. There are thousands of people who teach on this stuff. You can go on a blog, you can go on a website, you can watch YouTube videos, and you can hear love and relationship stuff all day long. But you know what you can't get by reading a blog, reading a website, watching videos? Impartation. Impartation comes by your associations. What you connect to, who you submit to, who you surround yourself around, you can get an impartation from. The reason why you just can't decide to have church at home and be away from the brethren is because you cannot get an impartation at home. Impartation means a transference of anointing. a transference of anointing. You should write that down. An impartation is a transference of a spiritual gift, a spiritual anointing, a spiritual blessing. You guys got that? So what an impartation is, if you come around someone who is gifted, who has been anointed by God in an area, in an anointing, comes to you by way of the Holy Spirit, who rests on a person's life and gives them something that they have to give away. Because you're never anointed for yourself. When God anoints you, he anoints you because he wants you to do something with it. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. He anointed me. You are anointed to do. So your anointing is not for you to sit. It's for you to serve. One of the things I learned years ago while we were doing our Monday nights was that whenever God gives me an impartation, I have to find a way to give it away. Because if I don't give it away, I'll lose it. Because I'm not utilizing the anointing the way he expects. He gives you something so that you can give it away. That's the key to keeping what God gives you. The reason why I encourage you to testify, I encourage you to share, is because I want you to impart something. That's the way you keep your blessing. That's the way you keep your breakthrough. You find ways to give away. If God has anointed you in an area, you must give it away to keep it. Stinginess, selfishness, self-centeredness, all of these things will cause the anointing in you to diminish. But if you want the anointing to increase, you have to find ways to give it away. God keeps elevating me, increasing me, because I keep pouring out. Are you seeing this? Now, what does this have to do with marriage and love? Because God can take existing marriages that are blessed, and he can allow that couple to now impart the blessing on their marriage to you. Amen. Singles, one of the greatest things you can do in your singleness is get around other married couples and just be around them, so that an impartation can come on you. And the impartation doesn't only come through teaching. You think when Jesus was with his disciples, every single day he sat down with them and taught them? You think that every single time Jesus was with his disciples, he said, hey, these are the 10 steps to the anointing. These are the 5 steps to working miracles. These are the 3 steps to speak in tongues. No, they were around him because he understood the power of impartation by association. Be with me. Remember that, Mark 3:13? He calls some to be with him so that he can anoint them and so that they can go out to preach and heal the sick and cast out devils. But the first thing they had to do was be with them, be around them. So I said you need to come around people who are ahead of you in areas that you want to go so that you can receive an impartation from them. Impartations can come by association, and it can also come through the laying on of hands. Hebrews 6 talks about the foundational elementary principles of God. Do you know that impartation, laying on of hands, the Bible says is one of the fundamental principles of Christianity? I'm going to show you. Hebrews 6, turn with me really quick. Hebrews 6, chapter 1. Hebrews 6, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. When you have it, say amen. Hebrews 6. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary principles of Christ. Everybody say elementary. the elementary teachings about Christ, and be taken toward maturity. Let us go on to perfection, some of your verses says. So let us go on to perfection, or let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation, just saying about it, not laying again the foundation. And he talks about six different things. Number one, he says the foundation of repentance, learning to repent, change the way you think, repenting from dead works or trying to do things on your own without the Spirit of God. Repentance from dead works. Two, having faith towards God. Three, the doctrine of baptisms. And number four, you also see the laying on of hands. Five, resurrection from the dead. And number six, eternal judgment. These are the six foundational principles of Christ. We're not talking about all of them, but one of the things in there was the laying on of hands. And the laying on of hands in Scripture was not just only for healing. They not only laid hands, you know, we know now, as I talk about it a lot, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's one of the biblical ways to be healed. If you're sick in here, we'll lay hands on you so that you can recover faster than you would, depending on medicine. And then number two, we lay hands for there to be an impartation or a transference of some spiritual gift to you. Now, I'm not going to go through all the scriptures about it. Today's not a day about teaching and information. It's an impartation. But I wanted to show you this because my wife and I, again, we were talking and we just both said in ourselves, we both had the same feeling, like we really don't feel like we should talk. Like we really just want to pray. You can jump in.
Yeah, just to piggyback off of what Pastor was saying.
I'm sorry, can I read one more verse? And that's it, and I'm going to let her finish. That's all I'm going to say.
Turn mic off.
Last verse. This is going to set her up for where she's going to go.
Thanks.
Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 17. Everybody say, I need an impartation. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Remember, we talked about this last week. Now, we talked about submission and how important it is to marriage. That we, in order to love, the Bible talks about how the church, Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. That love looks like submission to Christ. And husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and wives are supposed to submit to their husbands, because we are mirroring our relationship, the church's relationship to Christ. So marriage is not just about you as you mentioned, as Bianca mentioned earlier, about it's not just a part of your goals, you know, in life, that I'm gonna get married and when I reach a certain age, and it's just a part of, you know, the development. Because some people there are some people who are not called to marriage. Not everybody is going to be married. There are some people who are called to singleness. 1 Corinthians 7 talks about that. Now, if you want to be married, then that means it's not for you. Because the person who's not called to marriage doesn't have a desire for it. But if you desire marriage, then you're called to marriage. Because God won't give you a desire for something you can't have. Okay? So don't walk around saying, well, I'm single, I'm 40, and I ain't get married yet. Maybe it's not for me. Do you want to get married? If that's a desire in your heart, then yes, it is for you. But there might be something in your life or in the way that's preventing you from experiencing marriage. That's what we want to get to. Because how many people know that there is a spiritual realm that's very real? And that there is nothing that upsets the devil more than healthy marriages. There is nothing that the enemy is afraid of more than healthy marriages. But I want to get back to that. But the scripture says in Hebrews 13, obey those who rule over you, who are leaders over you, and be submissive, for they watch over your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable to you. So when those who are supposed to have rulership over you in a sense of government or in a sense of leadership, and in this, right, not control, but in this regards, he's talking about spiritual leadership. He's talking about people like your pastors. When those who are your spiritual leaders, the Bible says, obey them, listen to them who have rule over you, and submit. For they watch over your souls. So one of the blessings of having a spiritual leader is that God will begin to make them a watcher of your souls. Meaning that God will begin to communicate to your leaders so that they can benefit you by being able to watch over you. To be able to have insight and revelation concerning your life and your destiny. If you don't want that, then that means you don't want a pastor. Or maybe you're called to pastor and you need to watch over somebody else's soul. If I was not a pastor, I would be submitted to one. And I am still submitted to others. Because I understand that every pastor needs a pastor. Why? Because the way it works in the kingdom is that you must practice submission. No man is bigger than the other. I need an impartation from others as much as you need an impartation from us. And the Bible says, like, we're not sitting at home thinking about who we're going to watch over. Because Christ is the overall overseer of our souls. But what happens is Christ, in his grace and his wisdom, he will begin to speak to me or speak to Shanique and say, what's going on with Brittany? I don't think we have a Brittany here, so I say Brittany. What's up with Brittany? And then Shanique will ask me, did you see Brittany? I said, no, I haven't seen her in 2 weeks. She's been in my spirit. Let's call her. Let's text her. Let's reach out to her. What is God doing? He's sharing with us his concern. And as a pastor, as leaders, he wants us to watch over. We're not sitting at home checking everybody's Instagram or Facebook to see what you're doing. I know some of you guys had leaders that probably did that, but we got two bubbly kids running around that we got to watch over ourselves. We got to watch each other in terms of taking care of each other. But in the process of that, God will allow this thing to flow. But watch this. When you're close, remember this. When you get close to us, it makes this process easier. Look what he says. They watch over your souls as those who must give account to Christ. Let them do so with joy, not with grief. In other words, don't make this hard for your leaders. There are some people who purposefully will stay away, for example, from community and then say, well, nobody call me. Just to see if they'll call. Okay? That's not how fellowship works. And that's not how impartation flows. Power, if you know anything about electricity, power always flows from the strongest to the weakest. Engineers? I got three head shakes. Power always flows from the strongest to the weakest. So impartation always flows from the person who's the strongest to the weakest. That's why you can't be afraid of these people who tell you if you lay hands on people, be careful, because a spirit is going to transfer to you. If you're walking in power and you're walking in Christ, no demon in hell can overpower the power of Christ in you. Power always flows from the strongest to the weakest. And if it's that easy for a spirit to transfer to you, that means you don't got no power. And we need to lay hands on you to get some power. And don't lay hands on others until you get some power. All right. So now, with that joy, make it joyful, not grievous, so that it can be profitable to you. Amen. You want to jump in now? I'm done. I don't got nothing else to say.
I mean, I'm not going to stop your flow, but if you want me to. No, one of the things Pastor and I were talking about, when he mentioned the whole accountability piece, accountability is tough because, you know, depending on, especially if we're looking at it from a spiritual lens, and depending on where you came from prior to being here, you know, a lot of leaders tend to be, well, not a lot of leaders, but some have experienced leadership that may have been a bit controlling, right? So when you sort of break away from that, and especially when you come to a church like Hungry for God, where it's definitely the opposite of that, sometimes you can feel like, oh, there's nobody watching. I can kind of do whatever I want to do, right? And sometimes you may feel like, this is a little strange. Like, there's no one asking me any questions. There's no one asking me why did I miss Tuesday night, or why did I miss three consecutive Sundays? And sometimes you may be actually looking for that, right? Because that's what you're used to. But the leadership... I looked at my sister. The leadership here, or the leadership that that Pastor and I have, is, especially for me, Vernell hasn't necessarily experienced that. I don't think I was really controlled at my old church either, but there was a lot of accountability. And I must say, during the times where I did not want to be accountable to anyone, I wasn't. And I guess I was kind of, you get low, so to speak, like missing in action. And during those times, I was low and missing in action because I was doing things that I had no business doing. And I knew that my leadership had a relationship with God. So they would discern, what are you doing with yourself? Where you've been? What are you getting into? Something is not right with you, right? So the times that I knew I didn't want accountability and I didn't want anyone sort of checking me or checking what I was doing, I kind of disappeared and just hoped that nobody noticed, right? But they noticed. So I say that to say, even when, and not to say it's anyone here particularly, but even when we don't see you, we know, right? And the point of saying all of that is, if you really desire to grow in the things of God, you have to be accountable to someone. You have to be. And it's not about a matter of control, especially not here, but you have to be accountable. And I'll push that even a few steps further. When we start thinking, because this is our last Sunday about dating, and I agree with Pastor, I'm kind of a little bit over it as well. I feel like, how much can you say? Like, at some point, people are either going to take heed and they're going to take those things that have been said and take those tools and use them, or they're not. Simple as that. Like, that's it, right? And you've got to be at a place where you're ready to walk in that. If you're not at a place where you're ready to walk in that, it doesn't matter how many conferences you go to, how many Instagram posts you see and read, how many books you read on singleness and wholeness. And it doesn't matter, because if you have not matured into that place where you're ready, it doesn't matter, right? So I said all of that to say, sort of bridging the gap between accountability and relationships. One of the things that I did, which was kind of what we did at my church. If we were really serious about a person, we would bring them to church. Because, you know, dating, yes. If you were, like, dating or courting a person, we would invite them to church. We wouldn't necessarily invite, you know, you have friends that you, well, I had friends that you might go out with, but not really serious. But somebody that you're really serious about, you're not going to keep them away from the house. That's just like not introducing a person that you're serious about, not introducing them to your parents, right? If someone is sort of hiding you, right, then how serious could they possibly be about you? If they're not willing to introduce you to the people that they hold so dear to their hearts. So I say all of that to say accountability. If you're dating someone and you know, if you're like, nah, I'm not going to invite him to church, I'm not going to invite, then in your heart of hearts, you already know that's not the person. You're not serious about that person. Because if you're serious about a person, of course there's people we may invite, like, oh, come to church. Like, if they come sit in the back, it's fine, but you kind of see that they may need an experience, so you'll just invite them. But I'm talking about a person that you invite, and you say, I'm going to invite you to church. I want you to meet my pastor, right? Then that's when you know you're serious. But if it's a person that you're like, oh, come, or the person's asking you, I've even had times, can I come to church? No, you can't come to church with me. Like, go to your own church, or I'll direct you to, give you a few church references, but you can't come to my church, because we're not like that. You get what I'm saying? But it's the whole accountability piece, because what happens, I remember, I introduced someone to my leadership, my youth pastor at the time. And she was like, who is that? And in my mind, I'm like, I like him. He's great. But she saw something that I did not see, that I did not pick up on. And she said, no, that's not it. That is not it. That's not it for you. And although it was a hard pill to swallow, you think about it. You may not necessarily cut the person off right then and there, but it's in your head. And every time you go out with that person, you're thinking like, oh God, I don't think this is it. This is not it. So why am I wasting my time, right? So those types of things happen when you're accountable, right? When you're intentional about your Christian walk, when you're intentional about this whole thing that we call marriage and stepping into marriage and courtship and that and all of those things, right? I had a conversation with someone today, and we were actually talking about like marriage and relationships, and he was of African descent from Ghana, and we just began to like just talk about marriage, and I was telling him about my husband and how awesome he is. He tried to hit on me at first, and I had to say, pump your brakes, I'm married. And then from there, we just began to talk about love and marriage. And one of the things that he said, marriage is not an easy walk in the park, right? Because there's two people coming together and trying to do life together. But you're two totally different people, and the goal of marriage is when you get married, you become one. So you're no longer this separate entity or this separate individual, now independent, thank you. You're no longer independent of each other, but now your lives are merging. Everything that you do is merging together, and you're becoming one. And with that, it can be a little difficult. So him and I, we were talking, and I was saying like, because he was talking about like American women and the difference between American women and African women and the difference between African men and American men. And some of his points were valid. If you're going to stereotype and make a generalization. But one of the things that he said, and one of the things that we talked about, was the fact that most of the time when you get married, you marry emotionally, right? Because it's like, oh, I'm so in love. I have this, you know, this love for this person. It's just like, I want to spend the rest of my life with this person. I love this person so much, right? But what happens, because for one, you, while you're married, you should continue to do things to sort of fan that flame and keep that flame alive so that you always desire each other the same way you desire each other before you were married, right? But let's be real, right? Sometimes life takes its course. And sometimes just, you know, kids come and just a lot of different, a person gets sick. There's just so many different things that can happen in your marriage, right? So, say all of that to say, what if we begin to approach marriage just a little bit differently, right? So the love that God has for us is an agape love, right? And the definition, or not definition, but agape love is sort of the stuff that holds a marriage and a family together through all kinds of seasons. It's the selfless, unconditional type of love that helps people to forgive one another, to respect one another, and to serve one another day in and day out. So what if I was talking to Vernon and I said, what if we begin to approach marriage a little bit differently? And instead of feeling like this over sensation or this all of these emotions like, oh, I love this person, what if we begin to approach love with an agape love, right? Instead of this emotional, being from an emotional place. And I say that to say, when you begin to think about the love of God and the goodness of God, and the fact that we make mistakes all the time, right? We're always messing up. We're always coming short. But God loves us unconditionally, right? He loves us unconditionally. And when you think about when people get married, and then sometimes when people end up in divorce, sometimes they say, one, sometimes they were never really in love. They thought they were, but it was maybe a little bit of flesh. Not flesh, but lust. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. It was lust, infatuation, right? And that emotional, googly love, right? And not from a place of, I'm going to give this person an agape love. Thinking about that. A love that will not die no matter what. No matter what the situation is, no matter what we come against, right? I'm going to love this person unconditionally. And we talked about that because that's the type of love that God has for us, right? So we see a lot of times that, well, not a lot of times, but we see that there's divorce. Again, going back to the point that I was making. And when you ask people, like, what happened? Like, you guys seemed really awesome. What happened? And they share, like, we kind of fell out of love. We're no longer, like, we fell out of love. And I said, my God. And I began to think about that. And I said, what if God just fell out of love with us? Like, what if he just made the decision, like, I'm not really feeling him today. I'm not really feeling her today. She's not, I thought she was my cup of tea, but not really. But seriously, where would we be if God fell out of love with us? Where would we be if God said, you know what? She keeps messing up over and over and over and over again. I've given her chance after chance. I've given him chance after chance. And he keeps messing up. But that's what we do sometimes when we're married. Unless, right, there's, you know, there's different circumstances that, you know, that sometimes that may be the only answer, right? That may be the, and I'm not saying that can't, whatever that circumstance is, that that should keep you in a marriage where you're not happy. If someone is abusive or you know, they don't have a heart to change. Some people cheat, but they have a heart to change. And then some people cheat, and they don't have a heart to change. They keep doing it over and over and over again. And if you do that, now you're putting my life in jeopardy, right? Because you're doing whatever it is that you want to do, and then you're coming. So that's a different circumstance. But I'm talking about a person that just kind of allow, I won't say allow the enemy to use them, but didn't do what they were supposed to do, right? Messed up. Simple. They messed up. And we turn our backs on that, and we turn our back on that individual. What if God did that to us? But he loves us with an agape love, which means it's an unconditional love, that there's no conditions on his love for us, that it doesn't necessarily matter if we mess up. As long as we have a forgiving, as long as we go to the Lord and say, Lord, I messed up. Will you forgive me? What if we begin to approach marriage from that lens? I really truly believe in my heart that there would be a lot, that the divorce rate, especially amongst our community, would be a lot less. I feel like our tolerance level is low. Our tolerance level is low. And I don't know if that's because of like things that we've seen in the past. And, you know, we say, well, I'm not sitting here and I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going through that and kind of those things. But our tolerance level is low. We need to ask God, well, even before you get married. And again, I'm not saying be the fool, but I am saying we need to ask God, God, my tolerance, build it up. Give me a high tolerance. You need a high tolerance in marriage. You do. You have to be patient. You have to be forgiving. I'm serious. You guys are. I'm serious. And if you're not ready for that, if you can honestly say like, wow, I'm not really there, then you're not ready for marriage. The Bible says, don't awaken love before it's time. When we awaken love before it's time, it becomes disastrous. Hurt people. So you go into a relationship hurting, and then the person you're in a relationship with is hurting. That's toxic. That is completely toxic. And then when that's over, you haven't truly allowed God to heal you. And then you get into another relationship. And then it's a cycle. And then you finally come to a point, hopefully, where you ask the Lord to take over like I did. And truly mean it. And truly ask God to take over every, that was my prayer. I lie to you not. And many of you have heard this story before. That last relationship did something to me. I was like, God, this is it. I am not going through this again. Every time I try to do things my own way, I end up here. Right? I end up hurt. I end up trying to figure, I gotta put the pieces, crying at the altar, asking God to heal my, mend my broken heart and all of these things. I said, you know, once I got over that, I said, Lord, devil, you a liar. I am not going through that again. You've gotta be tired. You've gotta come to a place where you are like, listen, I'm not doing this anymore. And that is how I felt in my heart. I said, I am not doing this again. I'm not putting myself out there for the enemy to wreak havoc again. Because every time you do that, you got to start all over. It's like you get to the end of the race and you're right there. And then you got to backtrack and start over again. And I wrote all the way over. I like that. You got to start all the way over. And I remember, I remember living with my sister in my room on my face, crying out to the Lord. Not on Facebook. I wasn't even on Facebook. Not on Facebook, posting how I feel, posting saying, Lord, make me over again. No, I was on my face. I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, if you heal me this time, I promise I'm never going to do it my way again. I'm never going to do it my way again. And at a time where I was literally focused, like I was doing shut-ins and 9 a.m. prayer, and I was focused. Like I was focused. I was working and in school and all of that good stuff. And some of you have heard this before. And I was at a school, focused, working two jobs, and I was like, you know what? This is where I'm, and I felt so good. I know, I'm serious. I felt like there would be times, no lie, I would literally run home to get on my face to be in the presence of God. I was so happy in that place because I made a sound decision that I wasn't going to do it my way anymore. And it was at that time where I wasn't looking, I wasn't thinking about it. I met this handsome man. No, I'm just kidding. I was walking down the hallway. I was walking down the hallway, and I looked. I was like, whoa, why are you having... We're still not... Like, I'm still human, right? We're spiritual, but I'm still human, right? And I saw Vernell. He, like, kind of passed. I think he was... I don't even remember. He was on his way to the main office, and I had my class, and I was on my way to my classroom, and I was like...
Because you didn't even look back at me.
See? That's what you got to do. Don't look back. Don't look back. You see him? Just keep walking. We can't look so desperate. Listen. And look, I snagged. No, but seriously, like we can't be so desperate. And I think that's why I know for me, like, we can say that we're not desperate. And we can say that we got it all together. Like, we meet a guy like, boy, bye. I'm educated. I have a good job. My own place. But they can smell it. They can smell it. Because you're saying all of that, but you're texting. Where are you? What you doing? What you getting into? And it's just like nonstop. They give us a little bit of attention and we just be texting. You got to just back up a little bit. They can literally smell it. Look, what Amir is saying.
Relax.
Relax. Take it easy. But to bring that all together... They're making me laugh. To bring it all together, like, you've got to be confident. Ladies and men, right? Some of you guys keep wondering why you keep getting these, right?
No, that's facts. Single men, because men be too thirsty.
Men, yes. Say it, now, come on.
I said sometimes our men be too thirsty.
Say it again.
Too thirsty.
We don't. That's a turn off.
A thirsty man is a turn off.
Thirsty is a turn off.
Now you can desire her, but
right, Bianca. Thirsty,
you gotta girl. Also you gotta value. See, you gotta value the come up when it comes to relationships.
Ooh, value the come up.
What I mean by that is, Shanique is gonna probably think I'm being cheap, but
he's.
You don't take girl on the first date to a 5-star restaurant, man.
No, that's true.
The woman will say, yes, you do.
I want to say
But you don't, men. You don't.
I want to say, wait, I'm going to turn his mic off. I'm going to turn his mic off. I like what he just said. I kind of... We're going to... Yeah, but I kind of like what he said. You don't take a woman to a five-star restaurant. Yes.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
It, Pretty.
Pretty said, don't start anything you can't maintain. Right? Because now you've set the bar high.
Too high.
So now you're taking me to a five-star, and then you want to go to the Olive Garden. But hold on. There's nothing. Hold on, hold on. Wait. In all due, there's nothing wrong with the Olive Garden, right? But let me make a point. And I've said this. We give away too much too soon. And I've said this before. And what I mean by that, I'm not even talking about anything sexual. I'm talking about your time. Your time is precious.
Yes.
If you don't know this guy, why are you going to sit across the table at a five-star restaurant with you look thirsty? Why are you going to sit across? Why are you going to a five-star restaurant with somebody you don't even know? Go grab a cup of coffee. Yes. Go grab dessert.
Say, I got 30 minutes.
And say, exactly. We have an hour and a half to talk. That's too long, Pastor said.
First time is too long.
Right? We, again, it goes back to that not looking so available. Yes. Yes. And I think this is impartation, right?
It's impartation. I didn't want to go there because I was getting revelation the whole time. But.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, like, they don't necessarily, you've got to guard your time because when you guard your time, you guard your heart.
Ooh.
When you guard your time, you guard your heart. And I say that because the more you spend time with a person, the more you're going to want to be around that person. And if that's not the person for you, then you don't need to be around that person. Why? Because it's intimacy. It doesn't have to be anything physical. But when you spend time with a person, when you're talking to a person all the time, that's intimate. That's intimacy.
Investment.
That's an investment. So then you begin to, so you may have noticed like, oh, no. That's not the one. But you're steady talking, you're steady texting. And then the more you talk, the more you text, feelings begin to develop. Although you know that's not the one. And then you end up in a place where you're like, dang, I said a year ago, this wasn't it. How did I end up in this place? Dinner is deceitful. No, I'm serious. I say that because dinner is deceitful. Because you're not really talking, getting into the nitty gritty when you have dinner. Because think about it. You talk a little bit. You have an appetizer. You talk a little bit. The main course comes out. You talk a little bit. Dessert comes, date over, right? Date over, right? So there's not been a constant talk of there hasn't been like ongoing communication. When you have a cup of coffee, you're sitting in Starbucks, there's really no distractions. There's no dim lights and ambiance. That's why I say dinner can be deceitful. I'm serious about this.
Wow. Wisdom.
You go to a coffee shop. There's not a lot going on. You got to kind of keep your conversation on a appropriate because there's people all around you, right?
Right.
So you're conscious about that because you don't know who you're sitting next to.
Wow.
Right?
True.
We have to stop giving away so much.
Watch this. And we're going to wrap up.
Yes.
Because you mentioned dinner and you talked about the table. And that's one of the things that I also thought about because marriage is a covenant.
Yes.
and we don't talk about that. We didn't get a chance to talk about that in this series. But marriage is a covenant. It's a binding agreement.
Yes.
And so if you're dating for the purpose of marriage and you're looking to create a covenant with someone, covenants, remember, when you get married, you don't get married by yourself, right? You have the presence of witnesses, and then you come before a spiritual leader who performs a ceremony, and you state vows, and then you exchange rings depending on the type of marriage style you have. You might break bread, have communion together. Somebody might wash somebody's feet, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a spiritual process to this, right? Now, while in the instance when you think about covenant, and remember, marriage is a representation of Christ and his church. I thought about when you said this, when Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross to lay down his life for us.
Mm-hmm. When he was getting ready to go to the cross to lay down his life for us, watch this. It was at the table, at dinner,
yes.
There was one who desired intimacy with him without covenant. And his name was Judas.
Yep.
How do we know he desired intimacy without covenant? Because the way he betrayed Jesus was what?
With a kiss.
With a kiss. Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. And it was at the table where Jesus was establishing the new covenant. Judas didn't take bread and he didn't drink wine. But he wanted intimacy without covenant. This is how you get betrayed, ladies and gentlemen. This is how you get betrayed. Intimacy without covenant leads to betrayals. Intimacy without covenant leads to betrayals. That's why access is a gift.
Yes.
That's why time is it's a wise investment. You don't spend time with everyone. Get at a table with everyone. And I love what Jesus did. Jesus didn't stop being loving. He didn't stop the process. He didn't not give him bread. He did not give him wine, knowing that one was going to betray him. He still gave him the bread. He still gave him wine. He has still established a covenant. But the covenant itself forced the deceiver to expose himself. The covenant exposed the deceiver. So if you're not talking covenant, if you're not thinking covenant, when you meet people, you cannot identify who's really out to stab you in the back, betray you, steal from you, kill you, destroy you, scam you, or whatever the case may be, because you're not putting covenant in front of your conversation. You're putting access and convenience. You're making it too easy. I don't know where the amens go. We're talking marriage. So if you date and you don't bring up marriage in this talk, and you're not emphasizing covenant, you're just hanging out, and you'll never know a person's true intent. And that's how you waste time. And time is your most valuable commodity. One bad relationship will set you back 5-10 years in your life. Come on. You don't got time to waste. You get with the wrong. That's why we're saying all of this. Impartation, accountability, get around other people that know this thing. Every time, Shanika tell you, we know more than one couple who decided to sneak and get married. When I say sneak, they didn't tell anybody. They didn't want anybody to know until they were getting ready to get married. They didn't introduce them to anybody that was really influential in their lives. And by that time, we can't say anything because you already made your plans. Your decision is made, and then a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years later, it doesn't work out. Because if you cannot bring your relationship to the light in the beginning, if you want to walk in darkness, what's in the dark will come to light. But you cannot wait. I'm telling you, man, don't waste your time with people who you cannot be intimate, that you cannot foresee yourself spending the rest of your life with. What do you wait? You don't have time to waste. Find them. Ladies, you see a man, you see his mission, his vision, you hear his heart, and you cannot find that if you don't keep the conversations. How can I say this? I was going to say holy, but that's too churchy. Keep the conversations intentional and purposeful. That's a good word right there. All right? So, you got any Judases in your life? You got any Judases? Give them bread and wine.
Bring them to church.
Bring them bread and wine. Encourage covenant. Encourage accountability. Jesus brought them around the table. Jesus, I mean, I love, don't you love Jesus?
Yes.
Bring them around the table. This is our table. This is our fellowship. There are so many people in here that got more experience in different areas of your lives than you. And that's the power. The Bible says, if you walk with the wise, you will be wise. How many people know you don't have to be smart at everything? You don't have to know everything. As a matter of fact, who you are today is the result of everything you know. And everything you will be tomorrow is based on what you will know today. So if you want to become something more, you got to know more. And you have to be around people that know more than you so that you can gain impartation from them so that you can now get ahead in areas where it would have taken you 3 or 5 years. You can have one conversation with somebody in here that knows more than you, and that can set you up to now skip 3 to 5 years of wasted time, mistakes, headaches, struggles, strivings, breakups, makeups. Come on. That's the blessing of being in a house like this. Amen. Amen? All right.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.